Morning, everybody. This is great to be here. And been a few months now, and we just came up with George, not George the person, George the place, the church, and yesterday with Chad, and we'll be here tonight as well, and tomorrow we're going to pop into Oatsville on the way home. Yeah, just love seeing what God is doing around the nations, you know. And this morning I want to speak on, it was wonderful spending time with the elders last night. You are led by a great bunch of people, men and women who dearly love the Lord, and such a privilege to have them, partnership and teaming with them. And yeah, Trevor and Carlos, can be, you guys have been amazing as well. And, you know, it's so interesting that God wants to partner with us in everything. This whole thing is about partnership. We talk about partnership of churches, and we use language like that. Paul the Apostle used that. He said, I've got a partnership of churches and a field of churches. But this whole thing comes down always to relationship. First with the Lord. Like Paul said, to the Corinthians, first you gave yourselves to the Lord, and then you gave yourselves to us, which was proper and right to do. And it all, we don't lead by rank, we lead by relationship. And so God, he's in partnership with us in building into our lives. First and foremost, you're the most precious thing that exists because Jesus died for you. We didn't die for you. We called to die for you in a certain way, and leadership and sacrificing our needs and wants for the sake of the body as under shepherds. He is the chief shepherd, the great shepherd. But you are precious to him. You really are. And you're the most beautiful thing in his eyes. I really believe the Lord is here right now looking upon his people and partnering with us. I mean, even to the extent, and I always forget which Peter it is, but he says, we can speed up the day of the Lord's return. Isn't it amazing? It is. No man knows that date, only the Father knows. But it says, even in terms of that partnership, that we can speed up the day of his return. It's not like, wow, you know, it's one of those paradoxes of there is a date, but we can partner with in his return. And I always wonder, I would hate to be part of a generation that misses what God wants to do. And when we stand before him one day, the Bible says every man and woman must give an account for their lives. And in Revelation speaks about we'll have to give an account and be judged on the works that we do in the body. The body is quite an important aspect of our walk with the Lord. You know, we sometimes see it as like the weakest side because it's carnal and we're going to get a resurrected body like Jesus. But Jesus put his carnal body on the cross. He presented it on the cross and he rose again in a resurrected body. But in Romans 12, it says, present your bodies. So it's not just present your soul, your spirit, your mind, but it says present your bodies because that's your spirit and soul within your body. Obviously, the most important aspect would be your spirit and our souls, our mind, our will, our emotions. But our bodies are still holy before God, even though they are temporary bodies. But they're still His, created in His image. We created all completely in His image. And these bodies, we call to present them for works of service. And that this morning, the title of the message is Being in Position. Or I could call it 0.1%. Because who knows that the Lord is looking for his whole church to be mobilized. Because often we think, man, you know, we ask the elders, how's this church doing? Well, about 60% are really on board, man. They're on fire for God. We can count on them. If we turn around, there they are, ready just to be part of whatever God is doing. There's another 40%. They're somewhere out there. They sort of come on Sunday, sometimes miss. Not that Sunday is the most important time, but, you know, the early church met on Sunday, the first day of the week, in the temple. They gathered in the temple, and they gathered in homes. It's both and not either or. But this is a moment where the church comes together to worship God, to fellowship, and to be equipped in the Word of God and God's truth for Monday to next Sunday. And to partner with God. So when one day you stand before the Lord and he asks you to give an account for your life, you can say, Lord, I was in position. I ran flat out. I was there. Because the Lord's not looking for a 60% church. And it's not just attendance on a Sunday. Tick a box. I went to a meeting on a Sunday. It's you can bring your body here, but if your heart is not in it, and you really, you know, you're just doing this because it's the right thing to do, then you're missing the whole point. When we present our bodies, it should be one of, I'm here willingly. I believe that I count. So 0.1%, some of you are 0.1%, that's in your own mind. Like, if I'm not here, if 99.9% of the church is really in position, I'm sure that God's going to be happy with that. But what if he's looking for 100%? All the 0.1s, they're in position, and because every one of you has got value. Because we would tend to say, no, the elders are the biggest value. They're like 10% each, and there's five of them. You know, they're 50%, and then the deacons, you know, they're 5% each, you know. And then we start adding up, and then who am I? I'm nobody. I sit at the back. I'm 0.1%. If I'm here, I'm not here. On Wednesdays or Monday, it doesn't really matter. God's not going to really miss me. As long as the elders are there to preach and God's good worship team, that's okay. But what if God says, no, there's more than that? What if you want to mobilize the whole church? I don't think the world has ever seen a fully mobilized church. Fully, everyone in position. The 0.1s are all there. And you add up the 0.1s, it adds up to a lot. It fills in all the gaps of what God wants to. Let's read. This church used to be called Living Stones back in the day. And we're going to read 1 Peter 2 from verse 4. And it says, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God. So you've got to come to him. There's always a movement in the kingdom of God. Always movement. It's never passive. As you sat there, you know, waiting for him. This is, as you come to him, there's a presenting. The living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. You also, like living stones, now in Afrikaans, a brick that you put, it's called a baksteen, a baking stone. But then a stone, is all sorts of shapes. It's all, and often it's got to be chipped and honed and crafted to fit into position. And so, and you've got to make them all fit into the right place. He said, Hannah said, we're going to UK this weekend. They've got places there where they've got long stone walls built hundreds of years ago, just rocks all put in position to make up a complete wall. And stones are like that. They're all shapes and sizes. Some of them need a little bit of trimming to fit in position, which God, and that applies to all of us, where God actually shapes the stone to put it in position. And it's a living stone. It's not a brick, because a brick you can cast in a certain pattern. I want the brick to look like this. These are the dimensions. Where a stone is created by God. It's given by God from creation. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So a spiritual sacrifice that we're offering to him. And says Jesus said, in true worshipers in the future will... Those who worship me in spirit and in truth. In your spirit and with truth applied to you in living in the spirit, not just worshiping songs is great. And I love it. And you really start getting the presence of God. It often stirs up the prophetic. There's a beauty to worshiping God. And all through scripture we see a worshiping and a singing to God. But I've seen guys singing to God and walk out and go and sin. Go and commit adultery. Because that's living in spirit and truth. When you live it, actually live it out, and you take the word of God, apply it to your life, and your body actually is presented back to God as holy. For in scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. So it all centers around Jesus. He is the cornerstone. We've got to take our mark off him. Where's Jesus in the room? Where's Jesus in this whole order? Because we take our direction from him. He is the cornerstone. If we don't find that cornerstone, we're going to be all out of alignment and built all over the place. So it always comes back to, Lord, you're the cornerstone. We want to find you, Lord, and present ourselves to you, the cornerstone. Just line up on you. Let's line up this way. Let's line up that way. And that's how we'll come to the holy, pure building. A chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, the stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people. Do you believe that? Do you believe that on the back row? Do you believe that as 0.1%, that you are a chosen people, that he chose you? He said, you. I thought of bringing it. You know, I think it was the First or Second World War, the Americans had this picture of Uncle Sam, the guy in the top hats and everything, and he's pointing, your country needs you. Yeah, and it's almost like that. He chose you. He said, he wants you in possession. He wants you to be part of his building. I want to do a quick, let me finish reading the script, and I want to do a quick picture. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. So we call to get out there in the world and to be living stones and to be those who shine the light for Jesus. There's old little saying, you know, if you were taken to court, dragged to court, and this man is a Christian, this woman is a Christian, the judge says, well, prove it. Bring evidence. Would there be enough evidence to convict you? Sobering. Young guys, are you still around? Can you come and stand here for me? You're in big demand this morning. Yeah, just a couple, yeah, a whole row. Come stand here. Come stand over here, please. Now imagine this is all the stones. This is the church. Just stand in a long line facing. You all look cool. Now imagine this is the whole church mobilized worldwide. This is all in position. They're all in position. There's no gaps in the wall. Nothing whatsoever. If the enemy tries to get in, he'll battle to find a way through this because they're shoulder to shoulder. They've taken up all this space. And when they advance, they can take ground. Everything in the way will get taken out because God's given us authority to advance his kingdom and not just to be passive and sit back. But imagine if, I'm going to just touch you just and you can go and sit down just randomly. You guys can sit down. Nothing. You did nothing wrong. In fact, you're the most amazing. Don't fill up the gaps. Don't start. Just leave the gaps open. Now imagine this is now the church, and then we're not all in position, and there's some missing, and we say, okay, now let's advance. And the enemy can say, well, okay, I can see gaps in you guys. I'm coming through this one. I'm going to come through that one, and then there's work to be done, and we're going to go. By the time we reach the back, there's going to be spaces that were not touched and affected. Thanks, guys. You can sit down. And that's the church. That's a picture. Well stoned. And God's looking for a church for everybody to be in possession. And I think we need a dream of this. We need a dream of this church. You know, sometimes as leaders, we're satisfied with so little. Man, it's as long as 60% or 70% of the guys are with us, you know. We can really rely on them. Other 30%, no, we're not so sure. They're busy somewhere else. You know, remember Jesus called people to his banquet and come to my banquet. I've just got to go and check out this field I bought. Just hang on a moment, I'm coming. I've just got to check out this oxen. And today you could convert it to cars or something like that. My new tractor I bought for my, you know, and I've just got to go and bury my father. I mean, his father, by the way, when it refers to that scripture, the father wasn't actually dead. He was still alive. He wanted to go and hang around, wait till he died. And basically the whole lot, and so Jesus got angry with those guys. He said, well, leave them then. Go and call all the rest then. Bring them to the banquet. And I wonder sometimes if God calls us and we're all just so busy in this world. And we've got so occupied with the things of this world, and because this is some great things in this world, eh? Bible talks about the pleasures of sin. I mean, I was a sinner, and saved by grace and mercy, and I was not looking for God when I got saved. I was having a great time, and I wasn't desperate for God. It wasn't like, oh, my life was great, but it was such a big emptiness to it. I had to keep filling it up with drink and stuff like that, and. So the Bible talks about, refers to the pleasures of sin. There's pleasure in sin. But our biggest problem, you know, if I say to you that type of thing, oh, drinking, yeah, no, we wouldn't do that, partying, no. But there's certain things which are, the Bible says, they says all things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. As Christians, we've been given an incredible free reign to live our lives down here. He's given us all things for our enjoyment and all these things, but he's given us wisdom. He's given us the spirit of wisdom. Jesus said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and he'll remind you of all my teachings, all that I've commanded. And sometimes we just not center the spirit and think, well, if I just go and just do this, it's good. This is actually exercise, you know. And we got things today like cycling is big and sport and running and all sorts of stuff. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it robs us of our time and our attention towards God. That's why there is a sacrifice. You know, now, I know we're up against that. There's a bit of a false grace teaching going around for the couple of years now. And I know we're contending with that teaching quite a lot because guys say, no, just chill, relax. God wants you to have a wonderful time. And I'm concerned when we stand before the Lord one day that we've been so occupied with so-called good things in this life. And there's nothing wrong, you know, with having good things. But if God hasn't truly got our full attention, our hearts, we could miss something quite serious one day when we stand before him. And then it's the concern that we have as we lead the church and try and bring it to the place. Because the Bible says we've got to present the church as a beautiful virgin, a bride. Revelation speaks about the bride preparing herself for that day when the groom comes for her. And Ephesians 5 and talks about the picture of marriage and gives us a picture of a husband and a wife. And it says, And Jesus preparing his bride. So this is, a partnership in getting the bride ready for that day. And there's an excitement that should be in us. And the minute we start getting distracted by the things of this world, the church, we're running at 60%, we're running at 70%. And I don't believe that's the church that Jesus dreams over. I don't believe that's the church that gets effective in his hand. And I'm going to read you some scripture, which I'm swinging. You know, sometimes when we preach... a little bit over here, and it's good to stand over here and give a bit of scripture this side, that side, and sometimes we bring it over here. There's sometimes when I just teach messages on God's love, God's mercy, his grace. Sometimes the church just needs to hear that. What an amazing God. But I feel this moment, this morning, particularly a message I'm feeling for the churches at large, is one of mobilization of every 0.1% into position, and for that person to feel value. They think, well, you've got to, this is a lie from the enemy. Man, if I don't arrive, no one will notice. We've got to break that. We really have to break that. God notices, number one, and we should notice, number two. We should notice that you're not there. We shouldn't be, and if we ever phone you and say, hey, we notice you just haven't been part of the church life, is not to chase you and like tick a box like you need to come to meetings and that will make you, then we'll love you. It's more out of concern. There's something we can help you with. And some of our interactions with you should be of how are you living your lives before him. Just to help you, not to catch you out or to box you in or to take away or rob you of your joy. It's more out of a concern of when you stand before the Lord, have we taught you properly? Because Jesus said, Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations, teach, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And then he said, teach them to obey all that I've commanded. This morning I'm going to teach you to obey all Jesus commanded. Because when we stand, we want to know, because then, you know, we've got to give an account for you, Hebrews 13:17 says. We're not just trying to, you know, cover our own backs by doing that. We have got a genuine concern of how will you stand before God one day? And how would you have lived your life? You've got one opportunity at this. And you've only got one go at this. And then it's all over. Man has given man to live once, then die, and then present himself to God for judgment. And we've got to read this whole scripture in context from Genesis to Revelation and get an understanding of the heart of God. He is such, you know, I remember reading in Ezekiel once, I think it's about 37, 38, where he says a couple of times where Israel had this roller coaster ride with God. You know, they would obey God and he had blessed them. And then, hey, we don't need God. Crash, you know. I just read the other day in Numbers 14 where they disobeyed God and he said, no, don't go into battle. If you go into battle now, I'm not going to be with you. No, but you've been listening. You know, we've done so well. Everywhere we've gone, we've won. Let's go into battle. And they get whipped, man. They get a whipping. And they come back. What happened, you know? God said, I wasn't with you. We can't just assume all the time, and we're going to learn the character of God, the nature of God there, of what he is like. And he's incredible. In Ezekiel, he says, oh, Israel, Israel. Like, you almost feel God's, because God is passionate, eh? He's got emotions. Do you think you've got emotions? God's got emotions. Why do you choose death, Israel? Why? Like, why? I don't understand it. I was so good to you. I blessed you. You came close to me. And now you pulled away and you're just doing your own thing and your own strength. And why, Israel, do you choose death? And sometimes we need to bring, and so the Old Testament, we don't draw a line in the Bible and say, well, that was that God and now we've got a different God. We're just living in a time when God's extending such mercy and compassion because he doesn't want one person to perish. Not one. But if you read the whole scripture in context, there's some scary scriptures, eh? Wow, there's some scary scriptures. And so we're trying to just bring the heart of God this morning to mobilize the whole church. Why? Number one, it just makes God, it's pleasing to God. It's just pleasing to God. If he says in Romans 12, present your bodies, living sacrifices, he doesn't suggest that. He's actually saying that. It means coming and just being sometimes. I know some here. Thanks, I see you. Thanks for being in position. Thanks for being here. What do you want me to do, Anas? We see that guy sitting over there on his own. Why don't you just go and see if he's okay? Just go and pray for him. Do you know how people just love being prayed for? They just want to just know that someone cares. Someone out there knows my name. I remember I was talking with Andrew earlier. Where's Andrew? We were old NCMI guys. And we know a guy called Rob Rufus. He was our original lead elder, Jenny. And myself, he did our wedding, all that type of thing. And he was preaching once, and he stopped, and he just said, Lord, this is Mary. Mary. And he's like, oh. And he's quite a sensitive guy to the Spirit. And then he carried on preaching. And after the lady came, she said, you know what? I was going to commit suicide. I said, Lord, I'm going to find this. I bet you don't even know my name. I don't even exist. My name's Mary. You mentioned my name. God knows me. And I want to tell every one of you out there, God knows you by name and he's waiting for you. Some of you is waiting for you to come back into position. Some of you are just going through the motions. And God wants more than that. He wants more. And it's not, his commands are not burdensome. His yoke is easy, burden is light. You think, oh, I'm going to lose so much if I present myself. It's going to be so hard. And what about this? And man, sometimes it is hard. But mostly there's a joy that comes through that hardship. When you know, I'm going to read a scripture in a moment. Let me keep going for the sake of time. But I'm only coming here every now and again. I'm going to see you for a long time, so you can listen to me. Eh? Put up with me. So God's looking for living stones, a spiritual temple. And so the message I wanted to come through today is that you are of value. We need more than we need you, God needs you. He does need you because he's chosen to partner with the church. He could have done this without us, you know that. He didn't need us. But he's chosen to work through us, through Peter. I mean, one of the original apostles who helped get the early church going. Said, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. Build my church. Peter was blundered and making mistakes, and he was a racist like 14 years later. Paul had to tune him, and he's just still making mistakes, and yet God used him. We're walking in what Peter's obedience now, and God using Peter. 1 Corinthians 12, I don't think I read all of that, it's too much, I'm just going to read verse 14. There's a whole section there. But 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14. I'm just going to just use one scripture. And it says, and so the body, it's talking about all the parts of the body, and there's a whole story about the body. And I think you guys know the scripture fairly well. And so the body is not made up of one part, but of many. And every part has got to present itself. And it goes all about how the foot must, can't say all different things. And verse 12, just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. So everybody, you're a part of the body, and every every part of our body God gave us. He didn't make anything surplus or of no use. Every part of our bodies, our physical bodies, God has got a purpose for of some sort. And so that's, he doesn't say, well, he would have trimmed us a bit more, you know. He would have cut off the ears if we didn't need ears. But he's made us, and likewise with the body, are we going into battle sometimes? Are we taking, as a church, are we going forward with all body parts missing? And a person is missing, but I've got a couple of parts cut off now and all things like that. And you realize, hey, this restricts me a little bit, you know. And how are we going forward as a church? Sometimes restricted because some of the parts are missing. And then let's read 1 Peter 4, verse 7. It says, the end of all things is near, therefore be alert. Okay, this morning God's calling us to be alert. Be alert. Are you are you ready? Like, I'm ready. All systems go. And of sober minds that you may pray. And above all, love each other deeply. Because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and never, amen. Are you serving God with the gift that God has given you? Are you presenting the gift that you are? And every single one of us is a gift. You've all got something to bring. Not one person should walk through these doors empty-handed, saying, I've got nothing. I'm just going to sit here, sing with you guys, listen to a message, and go home. You've all came in here carrying something, a gift. Before you came, did you pray and ask the Lord to use your gift? Lord, I want to be used this morning. Use my gift, Lord. Well, sometimes it's just being kind to someone. Some just loving guys, just praying for someone. And so when you came in, did you present your gift to the Lord and say, Lord, here's my gift? If you're not really sure how you can be used, come speak to the leaders. Our role is to point you to Jesus, to help you to walk in all the things he's called you to be. In 2 Peter 1, chapter 1, some of you may know the scripture where it gives a whole ascending qualities. If you do these things, you know, add to wisdom this and self-control and all these things. It says, if you do these things in greater measure, it'll stop you from being unproductive and ineffective. Have you ever thought of your Christian walk sometimes as being productive and effective? Or do you just exist as a Christian? Because God's expecting us to be productive, to multiply what he's put in us. You know the parable where he distributed talents and the guys, the two guys multiplied their talents. He said, well done. That's what I was looking for. And the guy who just buried his talents sat on it and presented straight back as the way he got it. God was very displeased with him. So when you stand before the Lord one day and you present your gift, it should be held together with blow dart and duct tape. You know, like, here it is, Lord. It's been so well used. I used the gift. I multiplied, Lord. You asked me just to be kind to people and just to love people, take the meals. I did that. But no, isn't Hannes going to get the greater reward because he preached and he prayed? And you know, God's not impressed with that. That's just a gift given by God. If you do your gift, it's only what God gave you to do. It's just what he expects you to do. In 1 Corinthians, I'm going to be judged stricter. You're going to be judged stricter, you are. James says those who preach will be judged stricter. But then also in 1 Peter says that those who serve well as elders will get a crown for serving well. And in your gifting, present it back to God. When you come into these times, can you imagine a whole Sunday morning, everybody coming and buzzing, ready to present as opposed to ready to receive? Because you get the impression sometimes in our congregations that guys come mostly to receive as to give. Why don't we flip that around and come in? You know, prayer times, come for the prayer time. That shows us we believe that prayer is powerful and effective. And because the prayer of a righteous man avails much, it carries much. Prayer is so powerful. And do we come prayed up and ready to present? I hope you in some ways are feeling a little bit of, that's God, you know what, Lord, I can do better. And he will empower you to do it. He's cheering you on. He's not cross with you or angry with you. He wants you to come in, back into position and say, Lord, let me fill the gaps. There's a gap over there. Let me fill it. I'm gonna be in that position and used by you in that regard. So we're going to just land now with one last scripture. I didn't give it to you, but I just gave it to myself this morning. Matthew 19. And it's sort of from verse 28. Let's look at some sort of tangibles and things that we can look at in this. When I said, you know, sometimes the scriptures can be quite like challenging. And I think this is one of them. Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for grandchildren, for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many are first will be last, and last will be first. I think, and I'm referring sometimes, you know, in relationships, this is a hard one because I'm a grandfather, I'm a father, and I would love to just kick back and just hang out with my grandchildren all the time. But the reality is, and my children, but the reality is, There's work to be done. And some of it says when you leave them, it doesn't mean you sort of abandon them and walk off, say, cheers, you know, sort yourselves out. I think it's talking more in the context of when you've chosen to walk with God and people reject you for that. We've had that in family times when sometimes they haven't understood kingdom matters and said, but why are you fussing so much about the church, you know? Come and just relax. Take it easy. Come and be over here. And just, you know, and sometimes, because time is a commodity, time is a resource that we've got. Our capacity is limited in what we've got. And what is the most precious thing when we get before the Lord is going to be the kingdom, his kingdom. And so if you spend all your time just enjoying this life and not presenting yourself as a living sacrifice, and there is sometimes a sacrifice to be paid, then... And you will be rewarded for it. He says, I'll give you, even in this life, 100 times. Because there's times when parents have rejected us for following God, or there's just not the same values anymore and the same understanding of how to live life. And God often gives us, I think, you know, spiritual parents and spiritual sons and daughters and brothers and sisters. And we are ultimately the spiritual family. There's some of you, I don't even know your name. But I'll spend eternity with you, and I may not with some of my biological family. That's the reality. We are family. We have got one Father in heaven, and he's looking for his children, his sons and his daughters, to be in possession, to present themselves. Some of us need to reorder our lives around the kingdom of God a bit more. And I've seen guys go too far in that, and because, I mean, the credibility, for example, of the elders is their families and how they manage their families. That's according to Scripture, 1 Timothy and Titus. So it's not a matter of just abandoning your family and going serving God. I've seen guys do that, and it's not biblical either. But there is finding a balance in that. And we are living in a time where there's maybe sometimes even an over-focus on sport and children and things they can do. And I know I heard this has been touched on upon recently by maybe Brad in the area, but it's something that becomes a little God in our lives, you know. I've had the same challenge. The Lord said to me once, you're making an idol of your granddaughters. And, man, you know, I just want to be with them all the time. And I realized I had to adjust in the way I lived my life out. And even in sport, I mean, I've had to walk away from some sporting things that you're good at. And you think, but because you're good at a sport doesn't mean that you have to do it. I can go so many stories of people who, I know a young man right now has laid down like a rugby career. He was selected by one of the big provinces in South Africa to come and work, play with them. And he chose God to go and be trained in the things of God. Remember that guy, Chariots of Fire? The movie. Who saw the movie Chariots of Fire? For the younger folk, it was, the story's popping into my mind now. I think it's like the 1936 Olympic Games. What is the guy's name? Not Eric Little. What was it? No, he was the guy who broke the... Was it? Top Chariots of Fire, quickly, somebody. The name of the guy. He was the best 100-meter sprinter in Britain at the time. And he was guaranteed to win gold at the Olympics. But he was a very devout Christian. You may judge him for this, but he said, I don't run on Sundays. And the 100-meter race... Eric Little, was it him? Okay, Eric Little. You're Scottish, actually, if I remember correctly. Scottish Christian. There we are, the best. But he refused to run in the 100 meters Olympics, even though he was guaranteed a gold. His times are so good. And the King of England appealed to him, please run for Britain, you know. And he refused. The guy who he beat all the time won the gold. And he ran the 200 and 400 meters and he got gold for that. That was on a Tuesday or Thursday. And he then went into missionary work and he actually died in 1945 in China in a camp. He sent his family and with babies and everything to Canada. And he died serving people. On fire for Jesus, never saw his baby born. His wife went pregnant. He never saw his last baby born. When you think about that, a dedication, I think great is his reward, according to Scripture, not according to opinion. Great will be his reward for laying down something. They made a movie about him. The whole thing about Jesus got out of this man, the way he lived his life for God. And I want to be like that guy, man. I want to be like the guys in the Bible who lay down their lives. They purchased at such a great price, the blood of Jesus. They got one life to live. Let's live it flat out for him, in possession. And if you've got to order your life and change things around, then you've got to be courageous and do that. You can't be a coward. In Revelation, said the cowards will not inherit the kingdom of God. And I think it's cowards who won't make decisions to follow Jesus like he's asked them to follow him. He wasn't always understanding when God said, yeah, but let me just go. And he got angry. When the guy buried his talent, he didn't say, oh, yeah, it's okay, man, I understand. He said, cast that guy out. Lazy servant, cast him out with those who are perishing. Paraphrasing. He didn't say, no, don't worry, it's all, I understand, you had a tough life, it was difficult for you. Now, I'm a pastor, so I know all the difficulties of life, we've got to balance all this, but we can't forever be making excuses for why we don't. And we need to find the God of strength, of power. The grace, Titus tells us to say no, teaches us to say no to sin. Grace is empowering, not only forgiving, and just... Mercy, grace is empowering to live holy lives. He's given us everything to live a holy life. And this morning, I really hope that there's a focus on the holiness of God. We're saying it this morning, what a holy God we serve. That people will say, Lord, I was bought at such a great price. I'm a slave to righteousness. I'm a slave to you, Lord. I belong to you. How can I serve you? How can I be in possession? I pray this church will transform over through the word of God and through the power of God. To glorify him, to glorify his name. Because as the church mobilizes, there's a beacon of light that will go out over Mossel Bay and over the nations. You've got to dream these things. You've got to lift your head up and see what God sees. He sees Mossel Bay being impacted. There are people who are dying, going to hell. 300,000 people die per day. And the Bible says that narrow is the way to heaven. Wide is the way to destruction. We've got to narrow that, help people find that narrow gate and say, Lord, use me in the workplace. I won't be a coward in the workplace and keep quiet. I'm going to speak out your name, Lord. I was 23 years in business and 23 years now in ministry. And man, my business place was a ministry place. And I did my job well. I want to be the best at my job that I can be. But I want to bring the good news of Jesus wherever I put my feet. I had a plumber the other day working. I said, when he left, can I pray for you? You know, we can flip things around. The values of the kingdom are so different. You know, your car breaks down, you think, man, that's 5,000 rand gone. Or you can tell the mechanic about Jesus. And it's great, it's 5,000 rand spent. He's paying, he has to listen, yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah. Let's stand. Father, we come and we present ourselves right now as living sacrifices before you. And Lord, I pray for courage here this morning. I pray for a veil to be lifted off our spiritual minds, that we would see you, Lord, in all your glory. We'd understand the urgency of the hour, the urgency of the moment, Lord, that tomorrow is not another day. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of walking in you and making choices, fresh choices to serve you and to follow you all the days we have left on this earth. And one day you will find us in your presence and we will hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. We want to be those who are productive in your hands and effective in your hands. Those who are living kingdom values and living for you, Jesus, out of the relationship that we have in you. I pray for those who the devil's lied to this morning, that you feel you're nothing, you have no value, you've got nothing to present. You've got something to present. Otherwise, God is a liar, and he's not a liar. He's gifted you. God needs you in position. He needs you to present yourself and say, Lord, here I am, use me to be led by his Spirit, to be brave and courageous, to overcome your fear of man, your fear of reputation, of what people think, and what if I get rejected? We have to break that. Well, I'm just an introvert. Well, you've got to break that. You've got to break that. You can't live in that place. You can't live in the labels that I believe the devil sometimes puts on us. And how you image you have of yourself. You don't need a good self-image. You need a good God image. He's made you in his likeness, in his image. Bold and courageous people. And it doesn't depend on how old you are, what gender you are. That's got nothing to do. Your culture, it's got nothing to do with it. The Spirit of God is in every single one of us who are born again and know and claim to know him as Lord and Savior. So right now this morning, if you feel God's spoken to you and challenged you in any way to change, he is a God of change. He's forever on the move. He's never stagnant, never just marking time. He's always going forward, taking us somewhere in him. And he's looking for a people. And I don't want to be that generation that misses what God wants to do. And he's got to wait for the next, like the Israelites. He had to wait for all the old men above age of 20 to die out. 40 years. He had to wait for them to all die before he could bring the people into the promised land. Do we want to be a people like that? No ways. We want to be a people who say, Lord, we want to obey. Because those people were disobedient. We want to be a people who are obedient to him. Obedient to every command that he's given. If you're feeling the Lord prompting you in any way this morning to make changes, I want you to be bold and courageous and stick your hand up right now. He's looking for a people. And if you need to present yourself, older folk with the gray hair like me, don't dial out, eh? There's no retirement in the kingdom of God. We need you, older folk. We need you. The young people need you. We need you in the front rows, showing the guys how to worship God. Don't let the enemy intimidate you, that you must go, older people sit at the back. That's not how God works. Calebs, we need the Calebs back in the fight. Father, we present ourselves. You see the hands raised, your servants before you. And we come this morning bold and courageous because of you, because of what you've done on the cross, Lord, what you did in your resurrection, breaking the power of sin and death over us, that we can walk in freedom, Father. We are free people this morning. I pray for a people being set free in their minds. Renew minds this morning by your word, by your truth, God. Renew, Father, renew. Break off lies of the enemy, deceptions of the enemy that's crept in over years and has neutralized so much of your church. I pray that that breaks off and shatters this morning, that your church would walk boldly into it, what she's called into, that you advance, that the kingdom would advance in every life today. Your kingdom, Jesus, your glory, get it through our lives, Lord. Get it through our lives, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the response this morning to you, not to me. To you, Lord. Set us free, Father. We are free, but where the enemy has crept in and gained any ground, we push back on that ground this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And this morning, if there's anyone here, you're not certain that if you were to die, that you would actually see Jesus. I mean, I've had guys in churches before like this, just part of what's going, caught up in it, and everyone's friendly and nice, and you learn all how to do it, and maybe you think you were born a Christian, and you're a good person, and you know, we know that good people don't go to heaven, only saved people go to heaven. Likewise there, the pass mark for heaven is 100%, and none of us can achieve that, only Jesus achieved that. If you're not certain this morning of your salvation, if you were to die right now and stand before him, you're not certain that you would see him face to face. He said, and that Matthew 7 scripture is very scary. You know, some people will claim, Lord, but I cast out demons in your name. God's unimpressed. Because he cast the demons out, actually. You can't cast nothing out. And I prophesied in your name. This is God. He said, get away from me. I never knew you. I don't want to hear. Oh, boy. Well, those are words that are sobering. So if you're not certain, why don't you put your hand up right now and say, Lord, I want to be prayed for this morning. I want to present myself. I want to be certain, Lord, that my sins are paid for. I want to know that my sins are paid for in my heart. I want to present my life back to you. That if I die, that I'll see you and be known by you. Not only think I know you, but be known by you and welcomed into eternity. Does anyone like that? Stick your hand up right now. Be brave. Be courageous. And we can pray for you. Okay, everyone seems to be certain. Thank you guys for receiving us. But most of all, I'm trusting what God has done at work here. I'm trusting it'll be like Anna said, we don't want little goosebump moments. You know, we can have those. We want a church that's living for God, man. An overflow of your life into others. I live from an overflow. I can't give nothing to anybody. I've got nothing. I'm nobody. I know that. But I spend my life in his presence. I spend my life seeking his will and present my life saying, Lord, here's Russell, take him. From day one, like old General William Booth said of the Salvation Army, God got all of Russell. And I'm sure there's more to go. I don't believe I'm perfect by a long measure. But man, I'm so want to please my God. And the Bible says, find out what pleases God. And I want to please him. I want to have eyes for him, just his eyes. And we can all live in these things, can't we? Let's mobilize, church. Let's mobilize. Can I pray a blessing before I hand over to Hannes? Father, I pray your blessing over this church, Lord. A stirring in the spirit. A hunger for more. A thirst for more. That a dissatisfaction of the average. Of the okay. This is not okay. I'm not prepared just to settle for. You didn't come and die for just okay. You came for extravagant living for you, God. Flat out burning for you, Jesus. Yeah, a presenting of lives. And you've got to physically do that. Father, I pray your blessing that they will walk in all the commands and all the ways and the will that you have for every life, the road marked out for each individual life and corporately as a bunch of people, as your part of your bride. That they will find your face. They will run in the things that you've called them to run in. And they will be productive and effective in your hands according to your word. See, much fruit come from this church. And I really believe it. Man, we just feel like there's a lightness over this church now. There's something broken in the spiritual realm. And God's going to do amazing things in and through you guys as you present yourselves. Believe that. I believe that. Thank you, Lord. Bless you.
Sorry, just as Russell was sharing, I just thought about, you know, when Hagar, the servant of Abraham's wife Sarai, when she started treating her with contempt and she ran out into the wilderness, the angel of the Lord met her at a well, you know, and then he started giving him some promises. Said, you will bring a son into this life and you should call him Ishmael. And Ishmael means the Lord who hears. And then the angel of the Lord, I'm picking up verse 13 in Genesis 16. Thereafter Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord who had spoken to her. She said, you are the God who sees me. I think it's Elroy. Man, isn't that beautiful? You know, the Lord reaching out to a servant girl in the desert. And I feel really this morning, I think this speaks to my heart as well. is that if you feel felt undervalued, that there's a little contribution, so to speak, that you can bring, man, you are so important. If you don't bring your part, he's the Lord that sees, he's the Lord that hears. Just a word of an encouragement, yeah, that even with a servant girl that felt mistreated and in a distress, God reached out and spoke to her and said, I'm a God. Call your son, I'm a God who hears. And that thing was born in her heart. You know, I'm going to relate with him now in a new way, that he's the Lord, the God that sees me.